Last week at the Day in the Word, we heard some wonderful teachings on men who trusted God. And you really want to see people who trusted God. The Old Testament is full of men who trusted God. And if it weren't for their trust and believing, we probably, I don't know. You know, they're the ones that kept the word going and believed God so that the Messiah could come, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in manifestations, and well, in Brian's prayer, when he said that God is worthy to be praised and he's faithful, he was always faithful to his promises. He is today. God has never changed. What we see in the Old Testament, the things that God did for his people to get us here, that has never changed. He still would part an ocean if we needed it. He still will send angels if that's the means he has to deliver us. He still will move mountains for us. He's the God of deliverance. No matter what it takes from him, when we believe, we receive. That's the truth, and it will never change. That God never changes. What he says, he means, and what he means, he says. So we're going to look at another man today in the Old Testament, Joshua. Joshua at the Battle of Jericho. Anyway, we're going to start out in Genesis with Abraham. So let's go to Genesis 12, verse 1. God made a promise to Abraham. Now, when God makes a promise, does it ever change? No, it never changes. If he promises once, he means it. That's what he says he'll do. If he says he'll do something, then he's, by gosh, going to do it. Unlike us sometimes. So, Genesis 12, 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curses thee. Whoa, I like that. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And Abram took So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance, blah, blah, blah. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. He told Abram, unto thy seed I will give this land. Now, God made that covenant with Abraham. All the families of the earth shall be blessed, and unto thy seed will I give this land. God made that covenant with Abraham, and all Abraham had to do was believe. Abraham believed it. Now, let's skip over to Exodus. We know the story as it goes. Joseph was sold into slavery. He ends up in Egypt. There was a great famine. His family came. And it goes on that Israel got into bondage with the Egyptians. Let's go to Exodus 3. Now remember that promise that God made to Abraham. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. why the bush is not burnt, I'd probably be looking at that too. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Can you imagine that? And Moses said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. There's God's promise to Abraham. All those years, all that time, God is now telling this man, I'm going to take them into that land flowing with milk and honey, a great land and a large land, and they're going to be doing good. Now, therefore, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. God right there is letting him know, I know who's in the land. I know who's in that land. I know your enemies, like God now. He knows our enemies. He knows the enemy. And he put him under the feet of Jesus Christ. So whose enemy is the adversary today? He's still God's enemy. And Jesus Christ still put him under his feet, and he will be there forever. So God already knows what's going to be in this land that he's taking them to. Read on. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress thee. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God is getting ready to fulfill that promise that he made to Abraham when he told Abraham all those years ago. Can you imagine, though, what must have went through Abraham's mind? When God told him, you know, your seed is going to be as the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea, and I'm going to give you this land and all of this. Can you imagine what must have gone through Abraham's mind? You think he, what would you do? And you didn't even have a child, and you couldn't have a child. We look at things not seen, not things that are seen. We look at the spiritual aspect of life. When God makes a promise, does he tell you how he's going to do it always? No, he doesn't. Does he give you exact details so you won't be fretting and worried and all of that? No, he doesn't very often. If you need revelation, you'll get it. But when God makes promises in his word, that promise never changes. All we have to do is trust what he says will come to pass when he brings it to pass. Not when we decide it should come to pass. Abraham didn't do that, did he? When he told Abraham, get up and get out of that land, because I'm going to do this and that and your seed and this and that and the other, the stars of the sky. Abraham must have been spinning. It doesn't say that Abraham believed God and he got up and left. How many people are willing to get up and go when God says to get up and go? If God gives you revelation, what are you going to do with it? Go, that can't be God. He wouldn't tell me to do that. When God works within us to will and to do of his good pleasure, we're to go with it and believe it and trust God in all ways. We're to trust God in all ways. So go to verse 16. Of chapter 3. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites. And they have medicine for parasites, don't they? And the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites unto a land flowing with milk and honey. See how God keeps reminding them? And God says, I know what's in that land. I already have it scoped out. I already know what it's going to take. Just trust me. Just go with this. Now go to chapter 6. Dr. Werwell used to say, when God says move, you move. When God starts saying things to you to move, you start moving. And if he makes a promise in his word, like when you give, you'll receive, then you move and you give. When God says you are healed by his stripes, you believe that and you still keep moving and you still keep believing and you still keep trusting, no matter if the pain is still there. Because you're healed because the word of God says so, not because you have pain. You're healed because Jesus Christ healed you. And when we believe that and keep trusting and keep moving, we will get deliverance. We will. It's a promise of God. But we have to believe and keep moving. Keep moving. Whatever we do, keep moving for God. Just keep right on trusting and keep right on moving. We never give up. We don't sit down and say, woe is me. Why isn't God answering me? Why this? Why that? Why don't I have my needs met? Why don't this? Why don't that? God made this promise to Abraham many years ago. Many years ago. And now he's got another man he's working with that will believe him and trust him. That's all God needs is a little believing. That's all he needs to move and to act. That's all he needs is some believing. He doesn't expect you to go out and do good works, to be doing good works, to get an answer to a prayer. He doesn't. He expects us to believe. A little believing goes a long way with him. He's waited thousands of years for people to believe that Jesus Christ is not God. He loves that. Why wouldn't he? He's waited all this time for us to believe. Now, I know there's believers all over the world, and I know all that, and a lot of believers have gone before us and done a wonderful job with what we have. But we have so much knowledge of the Word of God that there's no reason for us not to believe. When he says move, we move. When he says sit down, we sit down. When he says shut up, we shut up. When he says speak, we speak. When he says give, we give. When he says bless, we bless. Do we have to ask a million questions? No, we don't. Did Abraham? No, he didn't. So, I read verse 16, 17. Okay, chapter 6, verse 6. Where am I? I get lost. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. Look at that. I will. I will. I will. Is the word of God God's will?
Yes.
Then are the promises God's will? The Word of God is the will of God. First thing I think most of us ever heard. The Word of God is the will of God. When I heard that, I went, really? That's great to know, isn't it? That the Word of God is the will of God. So many Christians in the world go around wondering what the will of God is. I live with old people. And I hear all the time, well, if it's God's will, he'll die. If it's God will take him if it's his will. If it's will, you know, I mean, a three-month-old infant dies and that's God's will. Or a 100-year-old man dies and that's God's will. Death is not God's will. The Word of God is the will of God. And God says, I will, I will, I will, I will. And then he says, I am the Lord. In case you question anything, I am God. Remember that. I am God. You're not. Okay? So, then we go to chapter 13. Now, he's getting ready to move, and he's got Moses moving the people. 13:5. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites, here we go again, and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. He had given them some things to do. But you see that he just keeps telling them, I'm going to bring you into a land filled with milk and honey. He also lets them know the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Perizzites, all those guys are in there. But he doesn't say you have to do anything about it, does he? No, he doesn't. So that's Moses. So now we've gone through Abraham, Joseph, and Moses. And God always reminded them of that promise. How many times does he remind of his promises in the manifestations? How many promises did we hear this morning in the manifestations? You know, if you're not listening to the manifestations when they're spoken, clean out your earballs. Because God Almighty, Elohim, El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty, is speaking directly to your heart and your mind. So if you're just sitting there, you know, thinking about what you have to do when you get home, or the Eagles game, or the World Series, or you got to get gas in the car, if those are your thoughts, you need to clean out the earballs in your heart and listen to what God's saying. Because every time there's manifestations, it pertains to what's going to be taught in the Word of God that day, that time. Every time. You got to have ears to listen and eyes to see when you come to the Word of God, when you come to a fellowship, when you hear manifestations. Just a side note, Leviticus 20. Just another 24. Just another reminder God's giving them while he's setting all this up. But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. And we're separated out from the world, aren't we? Spiritually. Much better than physically being separated out. Spiritually, we are not part of this world. Who was I talking to that about? You, Vicki? About standing and thinking, I'm not part of this world. I belong to Almighty God. My life is completely different than, you know, we don't need to have any fear of anything. We already live in a land flowing with milk and honey. Because we stand on spiritual ground. We have Christ in us. We have to think this way. We can't doubt for a minute who we are. And that this world has nothing to do with us. I know we live in it. Did the Egyptians have anything to do with the children of Israel when God said, I'm going to separate you out and I'm going to take care of the Egyptians and I'm going to bring you into a land flowing with milk and honey? God didn't give that a second thought, did he? What he had to do. He doesn't give it a second thought what he needs to do to take care of us. God doesn't, well, shall I or shall I not? Well, let me see. They didn't tithe yesterday. They didn't go to fellowship Sunday. No, God's not like that. God doesn't give it a second thought when he needs to do something for us. He doesn't hesitate. All he requires is a little believing, a little trust. So now let's go to Numbers and we'll see Joshua. Numbers 13. We're doing a lot of reading this morning, I know, but it's necessary. And it doesn't hurt us. Okay, Numbers 13:1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I have given unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel, and these were their names. And he goes through the tribes. We'll go down to verse 6. Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Now, go down to verse 16. He names a man out of every tribe. These are the names of the men which Moses sent out to spy out the land. And Moses called Joshua, the son of Nun, Joshua. So here's Caleb and Joshua and all these other guys from the tribes of Israel. Now then, verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way, Souther, go up to the mountain. Oh, the Southerds were living up there. Get you up this way southward and go up unto the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, a few or many. Now, God already knew this, didn't he? He'd been saying it all along. God already knew it. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first grapes. So they went up and searched the land, the wilderness of Zin and what have you, and they ascended by the south and came up unto Hebron, where all these guys built. And verse 23, and they came into the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. Can you imagine that at Giant Supermarket? A bunch of grapes so big you have to carry it out on a staff, you know, on the poles with two guys. You think that's a land flowing with milk and honey? You think God's promise is true? God said that, and look at what they found the first day out, just one bunch of grapes. So verse 24, the place was called the Brook of Eshcol because the cluster of grapes when the children of Israel cut down from hence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit thereof. So they saw a little of that promise, didn't they, that God had been telling them. And he had also been telling them the Canaanites, Jebusites, Perizzites, blah, blah, blah. All those guys are there. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. You see the promise of God, and the next thing you do is, but it's overwhelming, God. It is just, oh, I can't handle this. I just can't put up with this any longer. I can't do it. Yeah, I know I saw one of your promises come to pass yesterday, but today's different because today I'm just overwhelmed. I'm so stressed out, I can't handle him. I can't handle her. I can't handle my job. I can't do this. My car broke down. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Oh my gosh, Anak, he's one of the worst characters around. Oh my God. The Amalekites dwell in the land. Who did God tell him was in there? The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Oh, I can't handle it. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Shut up." What did God tell you? Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Let us go up at once. Don't hesitate. Trust God and don't hesitate. Do what the Word says and don't hesitate. If God tells you, you know, somebody's giving you a heart, your husband or your wife or your children or your boss or your neighbor, somebody's trying to go up against you or they're totally being off the wall, love them. Love them with the love of God. Now, that may involve having a conversation. That may involve a lot of things. But no need to get all shook up, all torn up, all stressed out, all discombobulated. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let's go up at once and possess it." We can go up at once and possess the promise of God. All we got to do is trust that promise and do what the Word says. We do what the Word says. God had told him to go in. Caleb says, "Shut up. We're going in. Let's go. For we are well able to overcome it." But when the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Oh my gosh, then comes negative Nelly or negative Ned. You know, you speak the word. This happens a lot. You're speaking the word to someone, even a believer, and the next thing out of their mouth is, but you don't understand. Somebody comes to you and they need something. So you give them the word. And the next thing out of their mouth is, "But you don't understand. You don't know my situation." No, I don't. But I do know the one who does know your situation. God knew this situation. He knew who was there. He knew exactly what he was doing. And Caleb stood up and believed it. Are you willing to stand up when everybody else is falling apart around you or being negative? Are you willing to stand up and say, but God says, you know, iron sharpeneth iron. We have to keep each other up there, up with the word. We can't allow ourselves to get. Now, I know that we can confess a need. Sherry might tell me something, and she knows I'm going to give her the word. You know, I might say, "Well, something's going on in my life." You give me the word. But if everybody else is around you is doubting God, not trusting God, being negative, you uphold what the word says. You be Caleb. Shut up. We're going up. Be still. God said. But God says. That's how we are to live. And we do that with ourselves because so often our mind does that. "But God, you don't know. I know what the promise. I know what you said. But I don't know what to do about that." We do that to ourselves constantly. We have to tell our minds, but God says, and tell yourself what God says 1,000 times if that's what it takes. That's all there is to it. It's black and white. There's no gray matter with God. There's no maybe, ifs, ands, or buts. God said, do it. You do it. Okay, I'm lost again. Okay. And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered. Oh, wait a minute. My page blew over. That's funny. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up by the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw and are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. They're totally forgetting that they're not in charge. It's not their job to fight these guys. It's God, where God says, be quiet. The battle's not yours, but mine. They've totally forgotten, haven't they? I mean, they're not even thinking about that. They're not even questioning God anymore. They're just full of it, full of themselves. How are we going to do this? We're as grasshoppers. And God had already told them, you're going in. And these guys that went in here were big guys from the tribes of Israel. They weren't little peon nobodies. These guys, God chose them to go in. Chapter 14, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Nobody listened to Caleb, did they? Nobody listened. Nobody listened to God, in other words. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. The whole congregation said unto them, would God that we died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. God should have said, okay, fine, die. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto the land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, let us return unto Egypt. Oh my God. These guys were really, they were gone. Their minds were gone. Do you know how easy it is to let your mind get to that place? It's just as easy to think the word, what God says, than let your mind get to that place. Either one takes work. But you got to work your mind to get to the place where you just sit down and die or want to die. I mean, that's ridiculous. These guys were goners. These guys, they were hopeless. And they let it happen. And Caleb had already told him. God had promised him. Moses had told him. What does it take? What does it take for someone to believe and trust God? I mean, how many years do we have to be doing this before we really believe God? Unbelievable. I'm talking about myself. How many years, how many times do I have to hear the word before I really, in my heart, believe it to the point that I say, God, I need new eyeballs, and I get them. How many years is it going to take for us to really, really believe and trust God? But you know what? We don't quit. We keep right on keeping on. We keep right on standing with what we do believe and what we know. Just like Caleb and Moses. Now let's go down to verse 11. This is sad. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? How long will it be before we believe we have Christ in us, huh? Think about that one. I would love to believe that every day of my life, every second of the day, that I have Christ in me and that I have the power of God and I can operate all nine manifestations all the time. It's up to me. Severally as I will. I will to believe. Isn't that great? Verse 12, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And then Moses says, oh God, please don't do that. These are your people. I know they're stiff-necked Jews, but they're your people, and you brought them up here. Now, verse 16. Because the Lord was not able to bring this people unto the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Isn't that wonderful? God forgave them. As bad off as they let themselves get, God forgave them. He does that with us every day. Every day. You know, we don't sin by commission sometimes. I don't go out and get drunk and act stupid. But the sins of omission that I do, like the times where I'm not praising God when I should be. You know, God is always there with his great mercy and tenderness and forgiveness. Isn't that God wonderful? Verse 21, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, he had chutzpah, Caleb, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Isn't that great? Look at the reward, the promise God made. He brought it to pass for that man because Caleb said, we're going up. Don't be afraid. Caleb had that believing that God said what he meant and meant what he said. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Listen to what he's doing. Your carcasses are going to follow. Woo! 30. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. The two men believed God. The two men. Out of those 12 guys, two people believed God. Do you think God could move a mountain if there was only two of us that needed it moved? How about one of us? God will work with one person that's believing. One man can save an entire nation. One man can stand alone through a crucifixion, believing he'll be raised again. What kind of believing is that? Joseph and Caleb were the only. God just said, your carcasses are going to be in the wild. Your unbelief has killed you. God didn't necessarily kill them. Their unbelief killed them. You know, your unbelief can make you sick. Your unbelief can make you broke. Your unbelief can make you stressed out. Your unbelief can do terrible things to you, really kill you. But because Joseph and Caleb believed, Joshua and Caleb believed God, God gave them that promise. Now let's go to number 17. And we know that a whole new generation come up now because God said, your little children, they're fine. But you guys, your unbelief, you're done with that kind of unbelief. 27, Numbers 27, I'm sorry. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into this Mount Abram, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. Moses messed up, and didn't get to go into the promised land, but God showed it to him. Wasn't that sweet of God? For ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes. That is the water of Meribah in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. Look at Moses' heart. He knew he was going to die. He wasn't going into the promised land. He knew what had happened. Yet he's praying to God, set somebody over your people. Isn't that, that really blessed me when I read that. That the man still was thinking of God's people. Which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. His heart for God's people was so great, wasn't it, Moses? That was wonderful. He was still concerned, knowing that he blew it with God and he wasn't going into the promised land after putting up with those stiff-necked Jews all that time. And he wasn't going to get to go in, but his heart was for God's people up unto his death. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. Isn't that beautiful? Now, verse 22, and Moses did as the Lord commanded him. And he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Joshua, who had trusted God and who believed God, God put his spirit upon him. And in the Old Testament, that was the privilege of all privileges, to have God's spirit upon you. Joshua was a man who trusted God, and he got the definite reward. Now, Joshua was going to lead God's people into that promised land, and Joshua had believed God and trusted him that this was going to happen. So go to Joshua 1. Verse 3. Joshua's getting ready to take them in. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and river Euphrates down the coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. What a reward for Joshua. What a, God had been promising that. God had told Abram, you're going into the, you know, your seed's going to inherit that land. And he had been saying that all along. Now he tells Josh, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. What a promise. What a promise to a man who believed God when he said, we're going into a promised land in Joshua. Yeah, we are. Look at that promise. Look at this promise. How would you like for God to speak directly to you when you're praying and tell you, you know what? Nobody will ever stand before you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage. Look how God encourages you. When you're not believing, God can encourage you to help you believe. God, help mine unbelief. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance, for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy unto their fathers to give them. And he says it again, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all the law. The book, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but meditate on it day and night. Think about God. Believe his promises. And then thou shalt have good success. God told us that today in the manifestations. I will give you success abundantly. Line right up with this promise, doesn't it? Then Joshua told all of them, get ready, because we're going in. Get ready because we're going in. go to chapter 3 and we'll close there. Verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. That's what Joshua told them to do in chapter 2. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. In other words, the Ark of the Covenant had the law, the commandments in it. So they were to follow God's word. And it was going to show them the way that they needed to go. For you have not passed this way before. That just knocks me out. God, I've never passed this way before. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. But we follow the word, and he shows us. You know, how many times does he say that in manifestations? He said it this morning. I'll show you the way to go. I'll make your path straight. I've never passed this way before. I've never been through this before. What if the doctors tell you you have cancer of the brain? God, I've never passed through this way before. I don't know what to do. Lord, help thy mine unbelief. Teach me the word. Boy, that just telling you the word is. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Get ready, God's going to move. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And what did they see Moses do? What did they see God do for Moses? All the miracles, my goodness sake. I will be with thee, and thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. When you get up there, put your feet in the water. When we are believing God, we're trusting God, we're going to be willing to put our feet in the water, baby. Get out and move. Put the word in your head and heart and move with it. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail, here it is, drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, all those guys had been telling them, God, all those guys that God had been telling them were in there. God is now, they got their feet in the water. They're believing God. They put their feet in the water, and God said, now I'm going to get rid of them. He didn't get rid of them not 1 second before he got them there. Before they believed and trusted God and went up to that Jordan, carrying that ark, leading the people, God did not do a thing with those guys. What a God. As soon as you put your feet in the water, I'm performing miracle after miracle after miracle for you. All it takes is a little believing. Put your feet in the water. Follow the word. Put your feet in the water. That the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan was flooded, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam that is beside Zeraton,
And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed right over against Jericho. Oh, what a God. I'm telling you, if any of us saw something like that happen, we'd probably faint. We're going, oh, stop, God, I can't handle your glory. And yet God says we have the glory of Christ in us. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Joshua believed God. Because of that man's believing, he was able to lead them into that promised land. He was able to lead them. They probably would have never gone without a leader. Our leader is Jesus Christ. He's already crossed the Jordan. He's already parted the seas. He's already stepped on the head of the devil. What more do we need to learn to trust God? Put our feet in the water. Follow the word. Put your feet in the water. Keep thinking the word. And the deliverance is promised to come. God doesn't make a promise if he doesn't mean it. So whatever you need in your life, spiritual, physical, mental, financial, healing, deliverance, any kind of deliverance, our God is able. It just takes a little believing. Two men, Caleb and Joshua. No, we can go in, no problemo. Our God is with us. And because of Joshua's great believing, God spoke to him and told him exactly what you do. Tell the priests, get up, get that ark. Get the people behind that ark. Tell them to follow. Tell the priests to put their feet in the water. And Joshua did it just like that. He just believed God and did exactly what God told him to do. God tells us to speak in tongues much, do we? God tells us to manifest at fellowship, do we? God tells us to pray. Do we? God tells us to read the word. Do we? God tells us to give. Do we? That's what we have to, you know, we have to trust God and take him at his word. Amen?
Amen. Amen.